Please be seated. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. And we're just going to read a few verses from this account, beginning with verse 31. So Luke 22, verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. Skip down to verse 39. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Let's join together in prayer. Father, illumine our eyes as we study this text together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It was all the way back in Luke chapter 9 that Luke tells us that Jesus set his heart, his face, to go to Jerusalem. And from chapter 9 on, Jesus is intent. In fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, he set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem, to go to the cross for your sins and my sins. Chapter 22 begins with Satan entering Judas, and then there's a Passover and the institution of the Lord's Supper, and then there's a spat about who's the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus speaks into that. And then he says to his disciples, I'm going to give you a kingdom as my Father has given me, so I will give to you a kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging. And then he turns to Peter. He doesn't call him Peter. He calls him Simon. Remember, Peter means rock. And there was nothing rock-like stable about Peter at this time. And he says to him, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen the brothers. When he says there, Satan has demanded you, that's a plural you. He's demanded you disciples. He's speaking to Peter, but he's speaking more broadly than that. He's speaking, Satan has demanded you, but I have prayed for you, singular, that your faith may not fail you. We just sang Psalm 37, though he stumble, he will not be cast headlong. He will not be so that he cannot rise again. And Peter, Jesus is praying here that when Peter denies him, he would not lose faith. He would continue to be and to do what God wants him to do. Jesus knew that Peter and his disciples were very weak at this point. Peter thought he was strong. Peter thought, I'm willing to go to the cross. I'm willing to go to prison with you. I'm willing to die with you. But Jesus knows better. He knows that in a few hours, he's going to be denied and that Peter is going to be the one to deny him. Simon, Simon. It was Simon who was going to deny him three times. Lest we forget, our struggles are not against flesh and blood. Our struggles are against principalities and powers and forces of evil. And if we're going to depend on our own strength, we're not going to make it. You must realize that in your own power, in your own strength, we are weak, but he is strong. Jesus uses an analogy here of wheat being sifted, and I don't know that we all understand that as well as we should. In today's American world, big combines come in and wheat harvest time, and thousands of acres are harvested. But in Jesus' day, there were sieves, and they would shake them ferociously and violently, trying to separate the wheat from the chaff. And Satan desires to sift you like wheat, to separate you from your Savior. But Jesus says, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. You're going to deny me, Peter, three times. But I have prayed that your faith would not fail, that unlike Judas, you would return, that you would be such that your faith would hold even at a time of denial. One of my favorite verses of all time, which I turn to often in times of struggle, is 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful. He will not tempt you beyond what you are able, but will with every temptation make a way of escape that you can stand up under it. Satan was going to hammer Peter and his disciples. He was going to sift them like wheat. And Jesus wanted to warn them in advance of what was happening. And he says to Peter, I have prayed for you that when you fail, your faith will not fail, and that you will return to the flock. As Jesus goes with his disciples to the Mount of Olives, to the Garden of Gethsemane, he talked about this principle. We learned from Matthew's account that, and Mark makes the point as well, that when they went out to the garden, he placed 8 of the disciples here. Then he took Peter, James, and John with him further to the mount, to the base of the Mount of Olives. And then he himself goes a stone's throw further. And both Matthew and Mark make clear that 3 times he told them to pray that they not enter into temptation. He didn't pray for me. I'm facing the cross. He prayed, pray that you enter not into temptation. And 3 times he comes back and they are asleep. They couldn't stay awake to pray when their Savior is getting ready for the crucifixion, and when the Savior has said to them, pray that you not enter into temptation. Well, we know the story. The Lord comes back and he takes them along, and then in verses 60 and 62, verses 54 to 62, really, the story of Peter's denial. He went out, and 3 times he denied his Savior in a matter of minutes. And then when the cock crowed, he went out and wept bitterly. But Jesus was praying not only for himself, but he was praying, and he had prayed, that when they were tempted, they would not, that Peter would not deny the faith, and that Peter would walk with him. What I want you to take from the sermon today is, we have a great high priest who not only laid down his life as a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice, we have a Savior who prays for us, who intercedes for us. A lot of you know the answers to the Westminster Shorter Catechism question because you've had to say it for me and classes I've taught. How does Christ execute the office of a priest? You can say it as well as I can, but Christ executes the office of a priest and is once offering up of himself a sacrifice for sin. He was the priest, but he was the offering. He offered up of himself a sacrifice to satisfy divine justice and reconcile us to God, and in making continual intercession for us. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 7, and I want to look at this with you for a minute. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 27 talks about, let's read verse 27. He has no need, like those high priests, the high priests of old, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sin and then for the sins of his people. Since he did this once for all, he offered up himself. He offered up himself. But the point I want to stress today is in verse 25 of Hebrews 7. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Christ is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to him because he always intercedes for us. When Dave Reese was here, Pastor Reese, in last month, he led a bite-sized theology class downstairs on this theme, and I was struck by, in a new way, with the impact of this upon my own life. I knew the catechism question, but I hadn't thought through the last part. He always lives to make intercession for us. And I went home that night, and my wife wasn't there at the time, and I was alone in that house, and I was reflecting on what we'd discussed over the dinner table. And my eyes filled with tears. And I think I said out loud, I don't deserve this. I can't. I'm like Peter. I fall asleep when I'm trying to pray. But Christ intercedes for us continually. And he does that for you. He does that for me. He does that for all of us that draw near to him with a pure heart. Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, we thank you that you have provided a high priest who has atoned on Calvary for our sins and who always lives to make intercession for us. And you know how this truth has changed my own approach in the last month to life and to walk, to union with Christ, communion with Christ, to understand that our high priest always lives to intercede for us who draw near to him. Lord, burn this truth into our hearts and minds. May we never think that if we don't pray enough that we will not be heard. Lord, draw us near to you and keep us near to you. And when we stumble, cause that your strong right hand would uphold us and that you would pick us up again and put us on stable footing. We pray this in the strong and powerful name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's turn, as we conclude, to Psalm 139. Selection A. And let's stand aside.